जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे,
द फॉलोइंग इज अ क्लास ऑन लॉर्ड चैतन्यस टीचिंग टू सनातन गोस्वामी गिवन बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी, रिकॉर्डेड ऑन 5th मई ऑफ 1995 इन टोरंटो कनाडा.
गोपी जाना बाला भाला धारे, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
I've been seeing all of you coming to the temple for years and years. So all of you have heard of Lord Chaitanya and all of you have heard of Sanatan Goswami, isn't it? Sanatan Goswami, along with his brother Rupa Goswami, were holding very important positions in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah in Bengal. As I've explained before, 500 years ago, the richest country in the world was India, and the richest part of India was that of Bengal. So Rupa and Sanatan were virtually running the whole administration. So you can see how intelligent they were, how responsible. But anyway, first Rupa Goswami, he resigned from his government service and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later on, Sanatan Goswami also resigned from his government service and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Sanatan Goswami was so keen on studying the scriptures that he reported to the king that he was sick. And for one whole month, he did not go to his office. Just like some of you give sick leave sometimes. So, Sanatan Goswami also gave his sick leave. Of course, most people give sick leave for material reasons. But Sanatan Goswami gave sick leave because he wanted to study the scriptures very intensively along with brahmanas. And the king was even more dependent on Sanatan Goswami now than ever before, because his brother Rupa Goswami had resigned. So the burden for responsibility increased on Sanatan Goswami. And when Sanatan did not show up, all the burden fell on the head of the king, isn't it? And there was so much burden on the king. And the king wanted to go and conquer other territories. And because he had to stay behind and manage, then he could not go and conquer. Just like in our temples, sometimes devotees are burdened with so much management that they have no time left for preaching. So the king was burdened with so much management that there was no time left for him to go and conquer. So when Sanatan Goswami was abstaining himself from his job for such a long time, the king one day sent his doctor. He sent his doctor to Sanatan Goswami's house to see how sick Sanatan Goswami was. And these days, of course, when somebody wants to come to your house, there's a certain security system, isn't it? He rings the bell, then from inside the door you ask, who is it? If you're living in an apartment building, you ask, who is it? And if the person responds and you don't want him to come, what do you tell him? He's not at home. He's answering the call, but he says, oh, he's Mr. So-and-so is not at home. Just like sometimes we call up people for donations for the temple. So we say, Mr. Patel is there? Patel is answering, but he says, no, he has just gone out. What to do? He's not so fortunate. Anyway, those days they didn't have all this system. So the doctor just came inside the door, and there he saw Sanatan Goswami surrounded by brahmanas, and they had all the scriptures open. They were discussing the scriptures. So the doctor went back to the king and said, "Sir, Sanatana Goswami is completely healthy. He's not sick at all." So the king was very upset that Sanatana Goswami was lying to him. So he had him arrested and he had him imprisoned. So the king, after having him imprisoned, left to conquer other places. So in the meantime, Sanatana Goswami received a letter from his brother. And his brother informed him that Sanatana and Rupa were actually both very, very rich, because they were working for the richest king in the world, so they were giving unlimited wealth. So Rupa Goswami's letter informed Sanatana Goswami that Rupa had left behind so much money with a particular grocery store. Those days, the banking system consisted of keeping money with the baniyas. They were baniyas, and they would hold the money for, you know, their depositors. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking, how can he get out of the jail? How to run out from the jail? So he approached the jailkeeper and said, because Sanatana Goswami at one time was virtually running the kingdom like the prime minister. So everybody there respected him very much. And even the jailkeeper had great respect for him. So Sanatana Goswami approached the jailkeeper and said, "Why don't you please release me?" But the jailkeeper said, "If I release you, the king will catch my throat, because you're not an important prisoner. The king knows your identity and the fact that you're in the prison." So then Sanatana Goswami, what did he do? He bribed him. The bribing is pretty old way of getting things done, I think. So Sanatana Goswami told him, "Take all this money and just tell the king that I had gone to pass stool in the open field and I jumped in the river and committed suicide." So the jailkeeper was very tempted by those gold coins. So he agreed. So then Sanatana Goswami started running. Actually, he was headed for Banaras, Varanasi, to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was staying over there. So on the way, Sanatana Goswami stopped at the house of his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law's name was Srikant. So Srikant was a very big zamindar, and he was Sanatana Goswami's brother-in-law. He was very rich, and there he saw Sanatana Goswami in old clothes, beard, you know, running. So he said, "What are you doing, Sanatana?" His relatives say, "What are you doing? You're crazy. You have such a nice job. Do your job for 50 more years. Why are you giving up your job? You're running away. Now you look like, you know, a poor man. Stay here. I'll give you these horses and this big house and this very nice clothing." And he gave him a very expensive blanket. Very expensive. So Sanatana Goswami was not going to be tempted. He had everything, and he renounced everything, you know. So there was no question of tempting him. So Sanatana Goswami was not interested, and he continued to go towards Varanasi. Actually, before Sanatana Goswami met his brother-in-law, on the way he had stopped at a motel, at a hotel. In America, they say motel and hotel. In America, they say it in a more graceful way. They have a nice song like this, something. Somebody told me this time. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami was staying in a hotel. Motel is an American invention. Previously, it was hotel. So he stayed in the hotel, and Sanatana Goswami had taken his servant with him. So Sanatana Goswami's servant was hiding 8 gold coins with him. These days, of course, what is the means of exchange? Paper money. And they keep changing the reserve ratio for the paper money. So now the paper money is worth nothing. At one time, every dollar that was in circulation, there was a certain amount of gold content with the, you know, Federal Reserve. But now they go on manipulating that to put the brakes on the economy or stimulate the economy. So anyway, but at one time they had pure gold standard. So they had 8 gold coins. And those 8 gold coins were worth a fortune by today's standard. So the proprietor of the hotel, he was very diplomatic. What would he do? Whenever a guest would come, he would receive him very nicely. And at the reception, the proprietor had an astrologer there. And that astrologer would look at the person's face and he could calculate how rich he was. And if the guest was very rich, then they would do some dacoity and rob him of his money. Like they say, highway robbery. This house was probably, the hotel was probably on some highway. So anyway, the astrologer was able to tell the king that this visitor to your hotel is very rich. His secretary is carrying 8 gold coins with him. So the hotel proprietor was taking very good care of Sanatana Goswami. Very extraordinary care. So Sanatana Goswami was an experienced diplomat. You know, he was after all like the king. He knew that this man is taking so much care of me. He definitely wants something from me. So he asked his secretary, said, are you carrying any money with you? So the servant said, yes, I'm carrying 7 gold coins with me. He was carrying 8, but 1 he wanted to hide for himself. And 7 he wanted to give to Sanatana. So he said, yes, I have 7 gold coins with me. So Sanatana Goswami then told the hotel proprietor, please, here is some money, take it. And the hotel proprietor said, oh, you're a very honest man. You brought the money to me yourself. Actually, I think you have 8 gold coins, not 7. His astrologer was so accurate. He said he has 8 gold coins. So then Sanatana asked his servant, do you have another gold coin with you? He said, yes. So he took the 8 gold coins and Sanatana Goswami then gave it to the proprietor of the hotel. He said, please take this money. But then the hotel proprietor was feeling very embarrassed. He said, oh, you're such an honest man. How can I take this money from you? No, you keep the money. But he said, no, if you don't take it, somebody else will try to kill me to take it. Because the hotel proprietor said, actually, I was planning on killing you tonight to take this money. So Sanatana Goswami said, if you don't take this money, somebody else is going to kill me. So you please take it. The Bhagavatam explains that wealth is actually an enemy for spiritual advancement. Jesus Christ says in the Bible that it is as difficult for a rich man to go back to the kingdom of God as it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. This is what Jesus Christ says. And Bible also makes a similar point. Because once you amass wealth, you make so many enemies, isn't it? The moment you begin to get wealthy, your relatives, first of all, become your enemy. They say, why should my father keep so much money? After all, I'm his son, isn't it? Because I'm his son, so he became rich. So father, give me money. Then the wives and the relatives, they say, our chacha is so rich, give us some money. Then the friends come and say, then the government says, oh, you became rich because we are in power. So give us some higher taxation. And then the thieves say, what do the thieves say? Why did you amass so much wealth? You're exploiting the poor, so we'll come and rob you. And then the gangsters say, we are going to kidnap you. This is the best business. Like in many countries like Italy and all over East Africa and even in India, in Bihar and UP especially, this is very good business. What is this business, you know? Kidnapping children, husbands, wives of rich families, and then demanding big grants. They never kidnap children or relatives of people of poor families. So once you start making money, as the Bhagavatam explains, you make so many enemies. In the Bhagavatam, there's a story of a very miserly man. There was one very conjuice man. He had so much money, but he would not give any of his relatives any money. So his wife and all his relatives, they conspired and they robbed him of all his money. So when he lost the money initially, he felt very, very sad that all this money that he had accumulated, saved, now it's gone. But then, all of a sudden, in his heart, they developed the mood of Tyaga. And he thought, oh, this was a heavy burden for me. Now I'm so relieved of all these attachments. And he took to spiritual life. So Sanatana Goswami convinced this hotel proprietor. So Sanatana Goswami gradually arrived in Varanasi. So when he arrived in Varanasi, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in a devotee's house called Chandra Shekhar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay in the homes of his different Grihastha disciples, and he would eat every few days in a different Grihastha's house. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is the Supreme Lord. So he knew that Sanatana has reached his house, and Sanatana was waiting outside. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Chandra Shekhar outside to see if, and he sent him outside and told him to bring Sanatana inside. But by the time Sanatana Goswami reached Varanasi, he had a big beard and he looked more like a Muslim than a Hindu sage. So Chandra Shekhar came out of the house. He was searching. Where is Sanatana? Where is that sadhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about? And he went inside and said, there is no sadhu outside. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, go back again and check it out. He went again and said, there's no sadhu outside. All I saw was one Muslim with a big beard. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, that Muslim is not a Muslim, but he's a great devotee of mine, Sanatana Goswami. So then, Sanatana Goswami was brought inside. And when he was brought inside, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace trees, and those trees would go back to Vaikuntha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he embraced Sanatana Goswami, Chandrasekhar could see that Sanatana Goswami is a very advanced devotee, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not embrace some ordinary person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just staring at Sanatana Goswami. Why was he staring? Who knows? Because Sanatana Goswami had a very expensive blanket on him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reasoning was, here is somebody who has renounced everything to take to spiritual life. And now he just has his expensive blanket. It doesn't look so good. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just looking at Sanatana, and Sanatana could understand what? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unhappy. So then Sanatana Goswami understood it, and he went on the bank of the Ganges. And there he saw, there was an old man there with a torn quilt, Rajai. So Sanatana Goswami went to him and said, sir, please give me a torn quilt and I will give you my new blanket in exchange. So that man said, you must be joking. Why should you give me a new blanket for my torn quilt? My torn quilt has no value at all. But Sanatana said, no. I would really, I'm serious, I'm not joking. So he exchanged his torn quilt for the blanket. New blanket for a torn quilt. So then he came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his torn quilt. Huh? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that, he was very happy. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a good physician, after treating a patient, does not leave the symptoms of the disease, so the disease may reoccur, isn't it? You go to a good physician, he does a complete job. He's not like a Japanese businessman. The Japanese businessman will sell you something to make sure it doesn't last for more than a few weeks. Then you come back and buy a new one. So a good physician doesn't deal with that mentality. I'm going to cure the disease, but I want to make sure he falls sick in 2 months. So he takes away all the symptoms of the disease, isn't it? So the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making, when it comes to spiritual life, then you should give up all these material attachments. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Veda Shastakai Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana. He explained to Sanatana Goswami that the Vedic literatures gave information about the living entity's relationship. And what is this relationship called? Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. So we all have many relationships, huh? Relationship with husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, etc. But we also have a sambandha with God, with Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the Vedic scriptures explain that there is a certain sambandha with Krishna. And the living entity, when he understands this relationship and acts in that understanding, that is called abhideya. Just like if you go to India, there's so many people who can chant the Bhagavad Gita by heart, isn't it? So many. Especially if you go to these Sanskrit schools, or they all know so many shlokas by heart. But if you go to an ISKCON devotee, he may not know so many shlokas by heart. So somebody may say, look, this person is more advanced. But that's wrong. The point is that you may know that Krishna is supreme, but if you don't act in an understanding, then what is the use? You may meet a lot of people in India who say, yes, yes, I believe Krishna and believe Krishna, but they don't know what Krishna says. So that is useless. So when the living entity understands what his sambandha is with Krishna, and when he works to fulfill that sambandha, then in Sanskrit it is called abhideya. Abhideya is called, it is when you work. You know Krishna is supreme, you know you are his part and parcel, you know your business is to engage in seva. So that understanding is called abhideya. Then prayojana, when you actually work with that understanding, Krishna says, sarva dharma paritha ja ma me kam shanam raja. Amtuam sarva papibhyam moksha mimasachaha. So when you work in an understanding, then it is called prayojana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that every living entity's constitutional position is to engage in service to the Supreme Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a nice example. He gave a story that once there was a very poor man, and that poor man was just lamenting. Then an astrologer came to his house and said, why are you lamenting? So the poor man said, because I have no money, I'm very poor. So the astrologer said, you are not poor. Who told you you are poor? Your father died in a foreign country and he could not tell you where he left the wealth behind. So, if you go and dig on the eastern side of your house, you will be able to find that wealth. So, similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this story to inform Sanatan that the Vedic scriptures inform us about our eternal relationship with Krishna. Just like the astrologer told the poor man, take on the eastern side. So the Vedic scriptures tell us, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Eva Gati Ranyata. That in the age of Kali, chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant. But still people say, can't, can't, can't. When the Krishna Conscious Movement was first started, there was a front page cartoon in a paper in Holland. It showed one nicely dressed up businessman who was being preached to by a shaven-headed Hare Krishna devotee. So the Hare Krishna devotee was telling the businessman in a suit, please chant, chant, chant Hare Krishna. And that man was saying, can't, can't, can't. So scriptures say chant, 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 but people say can't, can't, can't. Even when you go to kirtan sometimes and devotees do kirtan, the audience won't participate. I can't understand why. I tell them, this is not spiritual entertainment. You better participate or we'll go back. So the point is, so the Vedic scriptures, they gave us information about our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Now, why did the astrologer say, dig on the eastern side? Sun rises from the east. And when the sun rises, then what happens? What is destroyed? Darkness. So similarly, when you come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hayandikara Yaha Krishna Tahini Maya Adhikara. When you come to Krishna consciousness, your ignorance is destroyed. What is the ignorance? I'm this body. And this body is meant for sense enjoyment. So let me eat, drink and be merry and do whatever I can. And when you get out of this consciousness, you understand, no, I'm not this body. This body is a temporary covering. Just like the clothes I wear are a temporary covering of the body. And then you begin to take to the process of bhakti. by surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master, taking instructions from a bona fide spiritual master, serving the bona fide spiritual master, as Rupa Goswami says, one makes spiritual advancement and gains an understanding of what is bhakti and how bhakti has to be executed. So, we should all become fortunate. We can all become fortunate by taking to this process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has very kindly, mercifully presented the age-old process of bhakti in a very simple, sublime form. We should take to this process seriously, because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, he gave another nice example that sometimes there's waterfall. Just like I was in Washington, so Mukunda Swami had taken me for a japa walk to a very big park in Washington, one of the most beautiful parks I've seen. And in that park, it's 200 miles of park. There are waterfalls that come from the top. So when there's a waterfall coming from the top, sometimes the log of wood is pushed by the pressure of the water, isn't it? And the wood goes down, down, down. But sometimes by chance, it gets stuck in some corner of a stone. And when it gets stuck in the corner of a stone, then it doesn't go down. Is that right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this example to explain how the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another body. And by chance, he comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, receives the process of bhakti. Brahmanda Brahmita Kuna Bhagavanoji Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Bhakti Lata Beej. Bhakti Lata Beej means seed of bhakti, seed of devotional service. And when you get the seed of bhakti, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you must water this seed of bhakti. And how do you water the seed of bhakti? Hearing and chanting. So, Shravanam Kirtanam, that's the medium through which we develop love of God. So please, all of you, take this process of Shravanam Kirtanam seriously. I know that many of you are taking it seriously, but not serious enough. But if you want to make spiritual advancement, then just serious is not enough. You have to become serious enough. Very serious. Then you will make spiritual advancement. And then you will find real happiness. And then, at the end of this life, you'll go back to Krishna. Otherwise, if you just become a pious Hindu, then next life maybe you'll take birth in Birla's family. But when you take birth in Birla's family, you'll have so much money that you'll have no time for sadhus or spiritual. Then again you go down. So, one has to be, because if you do devotional service and you can't complete it, or you do just be a pious man, then your next birth is in a pious family or Brahmin family or rich family. But rich family birth is a curse in most cases. So, better take to Krishna consciousness now so that you're serious about Krishna consciousness and you follow the rules and regulations. Chant and read. Read Prabhupada's books every day. There's so many books of Prabhupada. But you must read. I know I always emphasize reading whenever I see all of you. But I know in spite of that, most of you don't read. Or even if you read, you read for 10, 15 minutes. Naam ke vaste. So naam ke vaste reading is not enough. You have to read just like you read to get a degree. Just like you try and force your children. Study, study, study. Huh? So you have to study the shastras. Then you will understand what Krishna wants, what the acharya wants. And then you will not speculate. Then you will not commit offenses. Then you will avoid Vaishnava prads. And then you will make spiritual advancement. See, everything we do has to be through the shastras. And if something is not through the shastras, we should not do it. So chant and read, associate with devotees, and by this process make advancement. Hare Krishna.